Start your day with a positive affirmation and intention. Since 1924, Daily Word Magazine has offered inspiration and practical teachings through daily prayer messages to help people of all faiths. Your subscription includes 2 months of daily affirmations, articles, and spiritual poetry to keep you inspired and motivated. Check out the digital subscription package that includes the online magazine with audio, smartphone app, and daily email. Get your subscription today. Visit dailyword.com or unity.org.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Empower yourself and get inspired to build the life of your dreams. Welcome to Everyday Peace with Dr. Dravon James.
I am super excited to have you join us today while we explore a life of peace. Every day, peace defined as wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality. Yes, that's available today, even with COVID-19 and all of the other mysteries of the world. Can you even imagine right now in this space, living in a place of peace, wholeness, completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, totality? Well, I'm here to tell you, yes, it's possible. Yes, you deserve it. And yes, you can have it. We work together on this show to bring you the topics and the guests to partner with you as you create your life of peace every day. And today's no exception. Listen, I know with everything that's going on, this is a time of heightened uncertainty, anxiety, fear. People are asking the question, what if? What if? And there's no answer. There's no clear-cut answer. But there is a source that is not surprised by this. We in our humanness are surprised, but we're not unsupported. We're not unsupported. It's so important that we remember that and we stay in that place, even with our questions. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have questions and to be frustrated when those answers don't come in a timely manner. In the midst of all that, we go back to the source, we ground ourselves, we get ready for round two of whatever it is. This is life, right? After this, there'll be something else. It probably won't be as major as this, but this is the cycle of life. And who knows that better than our elders? Right? They've lived through so much. No, they've not lived through COVID-19 before. The coronavirus and this magnitude is new. But our elders are not surprised when hard times or challenges, trials and tribulations, they've got a lot of experience with that. So I'm happy today to bring you our guest, Nana Kwabena Brown. Nana Kwabena Brown has a lot of titles and a lot of adjectives, and I want to get them all right. African traditional spiritual priest. He's a father, a son, an anthropologist, consultant, educator, instructor, trainer and coordinator. He is respected as a healer and a counselor. Nana Kwabena Brown is the chief priest and founder of the Temple of Namwe. I know I said that wrong. He's going to correct me. Nanakwabana studies of religious and spirituality have taken him from the esoteric to the metaphysical to the scholastic realms of knowledge. He is with us today to share our African spirituality, words from our ancestors, wisdom from our elders. He is what I will call today balm in Gilead.
Wow.
Kwabena Brown, Nanakwabena Brown, welcome to the Everyday Peace Show.
Thank you so much, Yvonne. That is a wonderful, wonderful introduction. I'm flattered, and I totally appreciate it. I really do. I'm very happy to be on your show. It's an honor this year, and it's really as we move along in life and we learn certain things or gain certain kinds of understandings, we actually have a responsibility and a mandate this year to help others to, you know, get more fullness, completeness, balance, harmony within their lives. So I'm happy to share with you today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here too. And I love that you say you have a mandate to share. I believe that too, that our life is not just about us. Yes, we are the key player. We got the major role. But it really is about leaving a legacy of knowledge and wisdom for the next generation. So with that being said, we're here today. We're going to talk about a lot of things. But I love to speak a word of wisdom as we go through our day and our time together regarding the coronavirus and the heightened fear and anxiety that many people are feeling. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to some senior citizens this weekend in preparation for our time together. And one of the things that kept coming up is this heightened sense of nervous energy about every symptom that has occurred in their body since we've been talking about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So I encourage them to tune in today, because it's great to hear from the CDC and the health critics and everyone who's out there, health educators. But it's sometimes more soothing and comforting to hear from someone who's sitting in the same seat where you are sitting. So with that being said, we're gonna do a lot of things today. We're gonna talk about African spirituality. You're gonna give us some knowledge about this, and then we're gonna tie it into this COVID-19. So let's just jump in at the very beginning. When you talk about African spirituality, what are we talking about exactly?
Well, when we talk about African spirituality, we're talking about that approach to spirit and to the belief and the and understanding and lifestyle that spirit is primal, that everything evolves from spirit. And one way to understand it is, if you think of spirit as energy, then we know that everything evolves from energy. The great scientist, philosopher, Albert Einstein, says that E equals MC squared. You know, that what we call mass is really just energy slowed down. Everything is essentially energy. When we say, when we talk about spirituality, we're saying the same thing. We're saying that everything is essentially spirit at different levels and rates of vibration that manifests itself in physical form. And I believe that the the fundamental aspect of life and reality of life is spirit, and of course that we are spirit, we as human beings, we are spirit, and that we, as we talk about spirituality, it's our pursuit to understand that part of us which is spiritual, or as we might say, from God Almighty. And that's the pursuit. And living in harmony and peace with everything else within our environment, it also is a manifestation on some level of spirit. And so that's...
Yeah, so what
when we say African spirituality, and we're talking about the ways of life, the ways of thinking, the ways of educating, the ways of identifying and classifying knowledge and wisdom and understanding that's found in the continent of Africa, that relates to spirit being primary. And spirit and our relationship and understanding of ourselves as spiritual entities being primary. And along with that would be the acknowledgement of the spirituality of every other human being with whom we come in contact, that they are a physical entity, however, their reality is that they are a spiritual entity having a physical experience, which we call mortality or life. And of course, it puts a different spin on things, because when we see ourselves as divine and when we see others as divine, then we are mandated to deal with them in a different kind of way. And so the majority of Africa is very communal. It is very, very spiritually based. It's very much, if you find an African who doesn't believe in God, you have to look far and wide for that. And as you get into traditional Africa, and that is Africa that has held on to the traditions, which predate Christianity, which predate Islam, then you see the traditions which are really based upon the necessity and the need to be educated to and understand spirit. Let me give an example. Amongst the Bantu people in the central and southern part of Africa, and of course, you know, Africa is not a country, it's a huge continent with many, many people. But as we get into the southern part of Africa, to the Bantu, there's a particular book that I suggest and recommend for all those who are listening. It's called, the title of the book is Bantu Philosophy. It's written by a Flemish priest, a priest from Belgium, and his name is Placide Temples. It's a very, very small book. But one of the things he puts in the preface of his book is that I came to the Congo, I came to Zaire to teach these people about God. And what they taught me about spirituality is huge and overwhelming. And the thing that he noticed is that for the Bantu, the very basic principle of their reality, their sense of being, is the word into, N-T-U, which means life force, spirit, energy. Everything derives from into. As a matter of fact, the word for person amongst the Bantu is Mntu or Muntu. Mntu or Muntu, which means a person. And the core of that word, Muntu, of course, is Ntu. We're saying at the center, at the core, at the seed of every human being, a spirit. Then, of course, they're referred to as the Bantu. And so Bantu means the collective that is undergirded by and has it as ultimate kind of essence, spirit. So that's what you find there. It's an unbelievable thing. I think spirituality, wherever you find it, I emphasize African spirituality because of the denigration of Africa as being a place without philosophy, without spirit, without any kind of concept of God, what have you. And investigation and scholarship proves it's exactly the opposite. And, of course, Placide Temples at the turn of the century went, stayed there, and was just amazed about how deep their concept of spirit happens to be as the foundation of everything. Of a man is M-Intu or Muntu. The people are called...
So what I want to just jump in here for 1 second, because what I hear you saying is, you know, man is spirit having a physical experience, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And I can't think of the gospel song, but I actually have it in my phone, in my Apple phone. But, you know, having a spiritual experience, and I think most people would accept that, is that whether you follow African spirituality or Christianity or any other, is that we are beyond our flesh and bone. We're not just flesh and bone. There's a real self. The flesh and bone represent the clothing that the spirit wears, so to speak. And that's comforting. That is comforting to know that we are part of a whole, part of a much bigger source than just our bodies. Mm-hmm. So having that knowledge base and having it rooted in different cultures, how do you think that helps people, or would help people if we acknowledged it more, would help us dealing with stress?
Well, I would say by acknowledging that we're all sisters and brothers on this planet Earth, all endowed with the same intu or spirit, that we're interconnected, interrelated. We're a part one of another, and therefore have always got to be given loving concern and respect. It affects our relationships. We don't see us as the them and us situation. Matter of fact, this virus has really knocked that down. There is no them and us. There's human beings who are being affected in a very, very large way by this virus. And
in many ways, the virus is a reminder of that, isn't it? Because it is not a respecter of gender or socioeconomic status, ethnicity. It is across the board, equally distributed, if you will.
It's across the board, equally distributed. And it's brought us to that. It really has brought us to that. And I think that when we follow the concept of into life force spirit being at the core of our humanity and our being, and that into the life force of into or spirit being in everything, then we're forced to love and have regard for every living person and every living creature, realizing that their divinity and our divinity are the same.
And, you know, I like that right there, because that is one of the things that I see right here, is this, what we should be doing is seeing the divinity in each and every one of us during this very difficult time period. We can see the vulnerability in each and every one of us. There is no external shield, if you will, that separates us. Right, we are all this humanness. We are all this spirit, clothed in humanness, I guess is a better way to say it. But it should be drawing us together to say, you know what? Hey, we're all the same. We're all cut from the same cloth. We all come from the same root. So this is togetherness. Could be something that is, if we allow it, could be something beautiful that settles after all the dust settles, and we come to this realization that we are all one.
We're all one.
Right?
There's only one race, the human race.
Mm-hmm. So here we are. We're talking about African spirituality, but more than that, we're talking about the influence of love on a culture, right? And the examples that the elders have to give us, that really what you said earlier is that loving relationships, the only answer.
Yes.
Right? The only answer. So how do we get to that? How do we get to these loving relationships? Or how do we express this love when people are so heavy with fear?
We have to talk about it. We have to look at the examples of Dr. King, of Malcolm X, and others, you know, who really... And then, you know, those guys didn't live very long. I don't think either one of them lived to see 40. But by their 40th birthday, they had realized the importance of love. Love translates as justice and fairness. And that it was important to encourage people's minds in that direction. And, you know, because fear distorts reality. It separates us. It can begin to get us to think that somehow we're not related or connected to other human beings on the planet. And it's so very, very important that each of us be a preacher teacher. We don't have to really maybe verbally teach, but verbally teaching also, but in our actions and the way that we interact with folks and the way that we will comment to them or guide them with our words, our actions, our deeds, is to move towards this sense of balance and fairness and oneness. I started to say equality, but I'm not going to say equality. I'm going to say oneness. It's not so much being equal, it's being one from one source. You know, I think that many of those who preceded us have taught that, and I think that we have to be bold enough to live it and to teach it and to talk it. Whenever the opportunity presents itself. We're one. We breathe the same air. The planet that we live on is just one planet. And she provides the oxygen that all of us breathe. She provides the water that we all drink. And she provides the medicine that all of us hopefully will be able to discover to heal some of the ailments that are here. You know?
Right. And I love you. You said we're all preacher teachers. I have this expression that I use and I remind myself of frequently, is that I play the role of teacher student all day long. So, and it goes back and forth. You know, you show up to teach and you come out of that having learned something about something, if you're open to it. And that really is our journey here in life. That the balance of this is that we will share the wisdom that we've had through or the experiences that we've had. And it's not always with our words. A lot of times it's with our actions, but, you know, and how we display love, how we display patience, and just this overall sense of kindness. And I've seen a lot more of that during this COVID-19. I've experienced more humanity from people, even strangers, than what I've experienced in the past. And I know sometimes in the worst of situations, bring out the best in people.
Yes, it does. I noticed that first, well, most recently when the floods came down in Louisiana.
I remember.
You know, the hurricane and the flood that came down there. And all of a sudden, everybody was trying to rescue every other human being, you know. Realized that we were all, as a species, being affected. And it's unfortunate that it takes a catastrophe like Katrina or like this virus to make us realize that we are all human beings, you know, and that the diminution or the downfall of one of us is the downfall of all of us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, if you look at the different things around the world, pretty much this is what essentially the same. We're all members one of another. We are.
Yeah, we are.
And this is so, the mindset of the African philosophy.
When you talk about spirituality, you talk about religion. In your mind, is there a separation between the two?
Yes.
What would that be?
Well, religion religion is a behavior. It's a behavior. I have a wonderful teacher. He's gone now. His name is John Eubanks from the Howard University Divinity School. He's one of my mentors, and he was just very brilliant. And he and another of my professors, Dr. Rina Karika Smart, they really said that, they very pointed out that religion is a behavior. You know, it has its creeds, it has its doctrine, et cetera. And it may have a God, and it may not have a God. But what makes it a religion is the fact that there's certain rituals, dogmas, and creeds which are followed. And the example that was given was the Soviet Union, which in the 50s and 60s was an avowed atheistic country.
Providence, I hear the theme song coming, indicating that we're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back and talk about the difference of spirituality and religion and how it can be instrumental in helping to bridge the ways of faith during COVID-19.
Okay, very good.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio. The voice of an awakening world.
Create and build the life of your dreams. Welcome back to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James.
Welcome back to Everyday Peace with Dr. Drayvon James. We are here today with Nana Kwabena. He is an elder in the community in our nation's capital. He is a spirituality historian, if you will. There are so many things that we could say to describe him. And in this moment right here, we're really talking about the usage of our elders and the wisdom that comes with both the practice of spirituality, and I'm going to say religion too, that can help us get through, with flying colors, if you will, through the COVID-19 season of our life. And just before the break, we were talking about the difference between religion and spirituality, and you were saying that religion deals, you said, with a lot of rituals and dogma and behaviors, right? And I just want to say that sometimes in this moment, I am a big believer in spirituality and that journey too, but sometimes the practice of doing something, especially when you're in heightened anxiety, sometimes the practice of doing something helps to soothe you. I was writing an article this weekend, and I had a memory of a song that used to be played or sang in a Pentecostal church that I used to attend as a child. And just that memory was so pleasant and, you know, just soothing and comforting. And although I totally understand that's not spirituality, that's a practice, that's a ritual, that's part of the process of religion. But, everyday peace, I believe in using everything that shows up in your life, the good, the bad, the in between, absolutely everything, to help you reach, consciously reach, your next level of greatness. And in this moment, for a lot of people, their next level of greatness is a sense of peace, a sense of wholeness. So these are all great things to have, even when we're not dealing with the coronavirus, but a sense of belonging and a sense of safety, that there will always be questions. There will always be questions. We are all provided for by the universe. Everything has a beginning and an end. That's really difficult to hear in this time. I know for me yesterday I learned that a dear friend of mine lost a family member to complications with the coronavirus. And in that moment, just to sit with that and say, okay, you know, if you have a belief that is grounded in something, you realize, or in some principles that is, you realize that everything that comes has a time when it will leave, and that goes for us too. And you know, butterflies and bees, everything. There's a season, right? To all things, there is a season. I can't remember what song that was, but it is part of the journey. It is part of the journey. Does it make the process any easier? But it does, in some way, at least for me, provide a sense of comfort to know that there are some things there in my past, in my religious practices, that can bring me to some to comfort the flesh, if you will. What do you think about that, Nana Kwabena?
Well, it's very true. I mean, one of the benefits of religious practice is the thing that it helps us as human beings, homo sapiens sapiens, to feel comforted and a part of a group. The root for religion, religio, means to bind together. To bind together, to give a sense of comfort, belonging, to bind together, a sense of wholeness, a sense of belonging. And so, you know, and that's why people pick churches. People go to church and they don't feel as though they can be a part and be accepted and be received and, you know, feel welcome and comfortable. That's a church either they'll go to or they won't go to. And there's a lot of religious behavior, which I think is programmed into our genes. I think religious behavior, I believe, is programmed into our genes, that we do things which are ritualistic. Not only do we do things which are ritualistic, but we do things which are based upon belief. Not so much hard-earned fact or research, but a part of our belief. And beliefs are very, very powerful. And they give us
yes,
a sense of comfort.
Yes, they are very powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give us a sense
of comfort. But, you know, when you were saying that, you know, I was, as you were saying, how we pick churches and how we do this, what I would like to see is that we use the principle that you started off with, and is love, to let love guide us. Because sometimes I have seen that religious practices can cause division amongst people, feeling this group over here or that group over there. And that's definitely, in my mind, not the intent. It is unites a certain people with their beliefs, but it should not be a hierarchy, like, oh, if you don't believe this, then you're not, you know, I don't know, part of the sacred circle, for lack of a better term. I would like us to see religion be something that brings us together and bounds us with love, especially during these times, always, but especially during these times, that we'll be using the love component and remembering that in all things is to practice love.
Well, I agree, and I think it's certain kinds of traumas or tragedies like Katrina or this virus that make us really begin to relate to one another in a positive way and in a dependent and interdependent way. We realize that we need each other. And, of course, in succumbing to or in surrendering to that need for each other, of course, at the root of that is love. You know, you realize that you're just one species. Spirituality can be found in religion. However, many people who are not involved in a religious group or ideology are extremely spiritual, because they believe that spirit, energy, spirit, God is behind and with everything. Even though they may not proclaim a denomination or religious affiliation, spirituality is our identification that spirit is primary. Spirit is the essence and the source of all things. And then one step after past spirituality is mysticism. And mysticism is the desire to connect and be one with God, the Creator, by whatever name that we happen to use for it. So one can be religious and be spiritual and mystical, and one can be mystical and really not be particularly involved with a particular religious order or denomination, but sees all life as an extension or a part of spirit, and seeks to be one with the God of their understanding. That's the difference. Everybody that's religious is not necessarily of that belief that everything is spirit. Everybody that's religious is not necessarily seeking to be one with the God of the universe, the God of heaven and earth. You know, they have their commandments, they have their doctrines, etc. But it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
Right. I appreciate that the differences in those definitions greatly, because I know a lot of times people, or this is a while back, used to get offended when people would say, oh, they were spiritual and not religious. But ultimately, I believe the goal is to recognize the spirit within the flesh, which would, you know, we all studied that in many, many religions, that, you know, it is the spirit and that we are enclosed in the flesh. So ultimately, you would believe that a lot of religions would lean towards the acceptance of spirituality. But be that as it may, and with the differences there, I still see an opportunity for us as a people to come together during this time of coronavirus and practice some, maybe for lack of a better term, maybe some generic practices that could be soothing. We could call them, you know, maybe they're not necessarily of a particular denomination. You know, I talk about prayer all the time, and when I do my posts on social media, I usually refer it to conversations with the universe, you know, because people look at prayer in different ways, but prayer is just a conversation where you do more listening as you mature. You do more listening than speaking, and then it really becomes a meaningful conversation. But in your practices with African traditional spiritual, as a spiritual priest, what are maybe a few things that people could do, practices or just activities they could do to de-stress during this season of the unknown? You know, I was working today and heard about I work in a hospital and heard about some cases miles and miles away from my home, but of the outbreak of coronavirus, and I could see the panic in my staff, and, you know, and what are some things that people could do maybe to just help to bring their anxiety level down, increase their sense of safety, even in the midst of the unknown?
Well, prayer, and in addition to prayer, meditation. Somebody told me once that prayer is we human beings talking to God, and meditation is God talking to us. And so I would encourage. I do both. I pray and I meditate. And the meditation part is leaving yourself open to what God is guiding you to do in terms of personal safety, universal precautions, and being obedient. I think many of us, through meditation, God connects with us. I think the challenge for many of us is really breaking habits and breaking ways of doing stuff that have become habits. But meditation and listening, and then after listening, obediently following what it is that God is bringing to us through our minds and our intuition, you know, which might be, don't go out today. Or remind so-and-so, no, we're not hugging, we're not shaking hands. Or telling people, no, I'm afraid I can't come to your meeting because it's going to be more than 10 people there. You know, so meditation is God talking to us. What I've come to believe is prayer is us talking to God. And there's a difference, I think.
Oh, I like that. Meditation is allowing God to talk to us. Prayer is us talking to God. And I've always, you know, there is some great relief, I think, that I feel when I do talk, but I feel more comforted when I listen. So I think that really helps to put it in perspective. Meditation is God talking to us. So I know you believe, and many of us believe, that there is comfort in the sense of history. I find it comforting because I know that if there was a history, there must have been a success somewhere along those lines, or, you know, no one would be here to tell that history. What is there in African spirituality or religion that can help people of different ethnicities and cultures to have better, fuller lives?
One, acknowledging and respecting the presence of God by whatever name that you use for the Supreme Being. Two, honoring and respecting and remembering one's ancestors. Three, acknowledging and utilizing the spiritual entities, which are the children of God, which God has created to be our helpers, which you may call angels, you may call deities, you may call them Abbasun, you may call them Arisha, but they are those aspects of those creations of God, of God's children, that don't have physical bodies. And to understand that that's the way the universe is ordered, that's the way God ordered the universe. And that if we follow that formula of always God first, second, acknowledging our ancestors, and know that from the spiritual world, they seek to guide us and will guide us and always trying to guide us and move us in the right direction. And then being aware of the spirits that God has created, angels, divas, whatever you want to call them, Abbasun, Arisha, whatever you want to call them, that God created to oversee various aspects and points within the universe and within nature, that were created to assist us in getting past the exigencies of life, that we can focus on the one purpose that all of us have, which is the mission that we all have, which is become one with God. And that's the essence of African religion. It's the essence of Native American religion. And it's a basis of many religious and spiritual practices around the world.
Yeah, it really is. And when you were talking, I was just thinking, you know, I grew up in a traditional African American church, but when I went away to college, I attended Catholic, you know, churches with my friends and Protestant churches, and throughout my life, and then also when I was growing up, I also went to New Age thought churches, and I've always seen such similarities. Maybe I love how you broke down the religion versus spirituality versus mysticism, but maybe the rituals were different. But when I really analyzed the concepts that they were teaching, it was basically the same concepts with different terminologies. And I love that because I think all of that too points to the fact that we are one. We are cut from the same cloth. We come from the same root, and then we grow up like a beautiful tree. And then some, call it by this name or call it by that name, but the root, the foundation is still the same. And I absolutely love that. I think everything points to this love and this kindness that we should have for each other, if indeed we have it for ourselves. And that leads me into my next point about for our conversation today is, as an elder, as a person who's doing counseling and teaching, I'd like to speak to this period of using this period to become more aware of, more in love with ourself in a genuine sense, not an egotistical love, but a genuine organic love that would enhance our relationship with others, with the universe, willing to be this time period to learn how to love each other, learn how to love ourselves so we can better love each other. What words of advice do you have about that?
Well, I would just say amen to it. Our survival as a species is really going to be, different kinds of ways of interacting. Aggressiveness and male-dominated kinds of thinking have got to go to the wayside for a more balanced kind of way of, assertiveness and raising forth of women like yourself and others who were on the Democratic ticket for a while, to really, really bring forth the female energy the female thought, the female vibration of harmony and peace. And for we men, we are those of us who are male, by birth, by gender, to allow ourselves to seek balance with the female energy, which is less about aggression and less about sending our children off to war. If women were in charge, they would be sending their sons off to war. That's somebody right. who they carried in their belly for 9 months, almost a year. It's easier for a man to do that.
Yeah. I love the fact that you said
that will make a big difference.
Yeah, I love the fact, and that's not something you hear a lot every day, is saying that you believe that we need less aggression and less male-dominated energy. I'll say energy. I think anyone would say that, oh, yes, we need less aggression. But a lot of times, you know, I'll hear people say, you know, that the feminine energy is too weak. It's not sustainable to live in that place, and I believe that balance is the answer to everything. But I do agree that we're not balanced. We are more male dominated in our energy, as a nation, right? And that has some very positive aspects to it, because you know that type of energy goes out and it is adventurous and creates new forms of just survival and this and that. But that feminine energy is strong and steady and harmonious and peaceful. And a lot of that, I know we have these pockets of fear that look like anger and aggression, but I'm sensing a lot of feminine energy coming up during this time period. And this, you know, it's very confusing for people, but they're going back to this safety cocoon, if you will, and maybe that's with the self quarantine and the curfews that have been in place. But I'm seeing this return maybe to the softer, more humane side. Now, would you say that fear, this type of fear, where it's across the country, across the world, what could result in something like that?
Well, you know, it's going to take balance. It's going to take balance. Certainly, you all who can carry a baby inside of yourself for 9 months certainly are not the strong, not the weak part of our species. There's not a part in any man's body that I know of where he would be willing or able to carry an 8-pound baby inside of himself for 9 months. You know, so there's a tremendous strength that sits within the female physical form. But the aspect of the female, which is compassion and love and caring, which would be more about conciliation as opposed to conflict, is very, very important to get that. A case in point, they just took the commission away from this guy, this admiral. No, I think it's admiral or captain of the Missouri. Because he did something in their sight which was unmanly. You know, that's insane. His compassion for his men was considered to be irregular, wrong, out of order. You know, the macho thing would have been, I guess, to tell a lie and put up a front. He didn't do that. And because he showed compassion and caring, his commission was taken from him. Because of the mentality that rules this country and much of the world. I will say that in Africa, so much of the religious practices evolve around maintaining a balance between the female and the male within an individual, and the female and the male as physical forms, bodies, persons within a community and society. So much of African religious spirituality is about bringing about that balance within an individual and bringing it about between and amongst members within a society, a village, or a culture. And that kind of way of thinking has been disrupted and corrupted by the intrusion of Western and Asian thought into Africa. But so much of traditional African religion is about the balance between females and males within a particular person, a particular individual, balancing his or her female and male energies. And then for harmony and peace within the home, within the village, within the compound, the harmony and balance between the males and the females. It's a very important thing for us to really take a look at. It's unfortunate, but the more we have become more westernized, or people in Africa become more westernized, the more they've gotten away from that. And what are that?
Right. Well, you know, well, here is the fortunate thing that I'm seeing with that, and I did hear about the Admiral as well, but one of the most more fortunate things I'm seeing is this balance of energy. And I believe it is, you know, the self-quarantine, the going back and spending more time with each other, because if there's one thing that I'm coming away from our time together here, we're nearing to our close, but hearing from an elder is the thing, you know, these three ingredients that we need to weather this part of our history, our life, and come out of this even better than what we went in is time with the Creator, prayer and meditation, and also the sense of love. And I think when you have time with the Creator through prayer and meditation, an offshoot of that organically is increased love and kindness of self and of others, and appreciation. And then this balanced energy, knowing that as significant as you are, whether you are more male energy or more female, feminine energy, we need balance to make this work. We need to be able to hear and to be heard, to speak and to be spoken to, so that we can have this balanced energy. It is not a sense of hierarchy. It's balance, which is what is going to take us into the new world and have us to be very, very successful there, but not just financially successful in our relationships and in our health, what I call the big three, health, wealth, and relationship. Nana Kwabena, it has been a pleasure having you on the show, and we have about 2 minutes left. I would like to ask you, is there anything going on in our nation's capital that you are involved in that you would love to share with our people? We know that you are, with our listeners, I know that you are in the Washington, D.C. area and are heavily involved in the community there. We have about 1 minute.
Okay. I do online church services every Sunday at 10 o'clock on my Facebook page, which is Bukor, B-U-K-O-R, B as in boy, U as in uncle, K as in Kevin, O as in Oliver, R as in Robert, Bukor, Nana Kwabena, 10 o'clock every Sunday morning.
And we're just about out of time. I will post it on our social media. You've been listening to one of our elders of our nation's capital, Nana Kwabena. It has been a pleasure. Thank you for being an everyday peacemaker. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you.
Been listening to Everyday Peace with Dr. Trayvon James. You have the power right now, today, to make the decisions, to take the actions that lead you to your next level of greatness. And I would love to walk with you on your journey. Here's some ways we can connect. Schedule a coaching session. Contact me at info@drtrayvonjames.com. Enroll in my online university course, the 2020 Clarity Course, at the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning International. Enroll in the Brilliant Life 9-week online coaching session with me and Keisha Dixon at info@drtrayvonjames.com. Purchase my book, Freedom is Your Birthright, from Amazon. Thank you for being an everyday peacemaker. I absolutely love you.
Thanks for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Start your day with a positive affirmation and intention. Since 1924, Daily Word Magazine has offered inspiration and practical teachings through daily prayer messages to help people of all faiths. Your subscription includes 2 months of daily affirmations, articles, and spiritual poetry to keep you inspired and motivated. Check out the digital subscription package that includes the online magazine with audio, smartphone app, and daily email. Get your subscription today. Visit dailyword.com or unity.org.